Thanks for taking a moment to check out this episode of the Idea Talks. Before we jump into this month's big idea, I wanted to take a moment and encourage you to go on to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Let us know how much you're enjoying hearing these talks each and every month. Also, you can subscribe to our YouTube page or to our podcast each month. It's as simple as going on to those platforms and just searching for the Idea Talks. Thank you so much, and we hope you enjoy this month's episode. On this episode, we have Pastor Josh's brother, Matt, along with his sisters, Charity, Faith, and Hope. Together, they will discuss the big idea of parenting children to love Jesus. This is a 2-part episode, and we encourage you to listen to both parts this month.
You said something to me in preparation for this, Charity, about mom and books and how much she loved to read parenting books. Is that true?
I guess my mom, I really can't remember. Maybe there was 2 books that she ever, that I remember her telling me about.
Okay, so why is that important for people in listening to know?
I love reading books.
Sure.
I love it. I think we all are very avid readers. We all love to. The key thing with mom is she always read her Bible. Mm-hmm. I don't remember her not reading her Bible. She always read her Bible every day. But she wasn't, oh, I read this book this week. I read this book. And a lot of times people feel pressure. As a mom of, you know, you have 5 kids, you have mom and you have 1 kid, and you think, I don't have time to do anything. Yeah. I don't have time to feed myself. And I'm supposed to be keeping up with this person who's reading this, and this person who's doing this, and this person watched this podcast, and this person did. And you think, I'm a failure. But mom just made sure she read the Bible, and she made sure that she, and she didn't make it a big deal that she was like, I'm okay, you know, I'm okay with God. I'm reading his instructions. So you're not a failure if you're not doing all the little extra things that people say that you should have to do. And there's another mom we were talking about, Cindy Brock. I ask a bunch of different moms that I respect, you know, what's their favorite books. She told me, you know, like she told me 1 book. She said, I'm not a big reader, but you know, she has 4 kids that are all adults that all love Jesus.
Yeah.
And I find that so amazing. I love learning, and there's not to put a damper on that, but you should be reading, and you should be reading the Bible. But yeah. It doesn't have to be that you are this avid, you know, that you are this amazing learner.
I remember that mom didn't like to read, but dad didn't mind reading, and she would ask dad to read us books. At least she would ask dad to read me books. And I remember dad sitting down and reading me different books about William Carey and just different books, because mom would say, hey, will you read this to Hope? And I had a hard time reading. I had a hard time learning to read. Now I'm a great reader. I love reading. But for a long time, it was very difficult. And my dad would read to me. And my mom wasn't a good reader. Well, it wasn't that she wasn't a good reader. She just didn't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So my dad would read to us. And that was something that I enjoyed too.
I think that's a freeing thing to look at somebody like Anna Theis, who is an incredible mother, and realize, I don't have to put myself under the pressure of reading 72 books on parenting to be a great mother.
Right.
Read the Bible, go to church,
and
do your best.
You said that they, like a lot of parenting books, contradict each other.
Yeah.
They do. There's give them grace, then there's beat the child.
Right.
Then there's, you know.
Then you begin conflicting inside of yourself, which parenting style is the best.
So when
well,
you, go back
you know,
to the Bible,
just relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Relax and enjoy parenting. Let's go ahead and end with this conversation about transitioning to adulthood. There are parents going to be listening to this and watching this, and they're like, that's fantastic. You know, you talked about, you know, spanking, and that's great for a 7-year-old, but what about my kid's 17 and they're growing up, and what do I do? They're transitioning to adulthood. What were some things that mom and dad did? And let's all speak to this. What are some of the things that mom and dad did to help us transition from from childhood to adulthood and letting go?
They set a course for us, and they were consistent in the course that they had set. So for me, I remember knowing, okay, this is who my parents are. I'm going to be what I think God's made me to be. But I understand my parents' perspective, and they put a course, and they were consistent with it. And they gave me the freedom to be what God wanted me to be. Mm. And so I think their consistency would be...
Well, speak to that, what God wanted you to be, because maybe people that look up here, they say, oh, you're a pastor, and you're a pastor, and you're married to a pastor, and she's married to somebody in government. We're not quite sure what she does, and you're going to be married to somebody in government. And so sometimes people think, oh, they're all quote unquote full-time Christian service or whatever.
You would feel like that too. Didn't people, when they looked at you, say, well, you're going to grow up and be a preacher like your dad?
Oh, yeah. I got that all the time.
And did you enjoy that, or was it something that you almost resented?
I'd like to hear your perspective, because I don't know. I don't know what you're going to say. I enjoyed it, because there was never a time that I remember that I wasn't going to be a preacher. Mm-hmm. So from, like, I was 5 years old and 10 and 15, you asked me, I was going to be a preacher. So I enjoyed that aspect of it, but I never felt the pressure to be that from mom and dad. What's your perspective?
I never felt the pressure from mom and dad to be a preacher, but I always felt like...
The outside pressure from others.
You're going to be a preacher. And I almost resented that.
Yeah, yeah.
To where I wanted to not necessarily be rebellious, but I didn't want to be a preacher. For me, my call to ministry was more of a mental, this is the best investment of my time, not a come to Jesus weepy moment. It's like, this is better than doing this or doing this or doing this. And so you would always have this passion. I remember as a kid, you had a passion for ministry. I remember at 8 and 9, you, I'm going to be a preacher.
I'm going to be a preacher. Started a bus route.
And I was out playing pickup football. And so
that's because
I have, we are today.
Yeah. That's because I have zero athletic ability.
Yeah. But the
you can fish.
So for me it was always you can fish.
She said I can fish.
You're a great
fisherman. I'm a great fisherman.
You
I'm a
really
sportsman.
Are.
I'm a man.
You are.
I'm a
and
man.
And you CrossFit.
Thank you. Yes, I CrossFit.
Yeah,
thank you for validating
cool.
my manhood, that guys.
Cool.
That makes
you
me
are
so
cool.
I have
thank
a
you.
Card in the car that I can give you later that says man on it.
Oh, man. Oh, I lost my man card years ago. He took it from me.
So my call was just simply a mental assent that this is the best investment of my time, and why not do something that's going to eternally change people's lives rather than some short-lived temporal thing.
So in the concept of transitioning to adulthood for ladies, it'd be different. Like, how do I? I mean, I'm going to be dealing with this twice. I have Savannah and Scarlett. How do I transition them from obedience to walking with Jesus, right, or becoming their own? And how do you transition that child from 16, 17, 18, 19, 20? Hope, why don't you speak to that? You're in the midst of that stage.
You lifted it up a little bit higher
than I did.
You told
me I have to keep it up.
Oh, okay. I think one thing that Dad did was he was very, once you hit about 12 years old, he was very much trying to get you to the point to realize that you were a young adult. You were not a little kid anymore. Though you still had fun, though you still got to do things that were fun, he would always, at least he talked to me as the fact that, hey, you're in a young adult. That's not appropriate for a young lady to be doing. Hey, as a young adult, you get to do this. And so at 12 years old, I taught a 5-year-old's class, and I was the teacher of the 5-year-old's class at the age of 15. I taught about 400 kids in Camp Liberty, and that's what I did. And he made sure that we were involved and that we had that responsibility. If at 15 I didn't have my Sunday school lesson ready, no one else was teaching those 400 kids Sunday school unless I could get Faith to do it, which Faith would yell at me.
Yeah. I didn't yell. I just nicely said, this was not good, and you should be more responsible.
How many of you would agree that Faith screams a lot more than she lets on in public? Is that right? That's true.
So.
Very
yeah,
violent.
Yeah.
Person.
She's a violent person.
Yeah.
Go
I
ahead.
I remember being beat up when I was little.
and then can we clarify that? Really, I don't care. Fine.
Yes. Okay.
I'm so violent.
So Faith is the easiest person in the world to live with.
Thank you.
She just said that so we don't get hurt later. This is all going to be edited anyway.
No, probably not. Go ahead.
Okay. So he would give us different responsibilities. Obviously you had, you know, make sure you're doing your stuff at home. If you make sure your stuff is out of the living room, you're cleaning up your stuff. But then also to the point of, you know, hey, you should be going on visitation. Why aren't you ready at this point? You should be helping us. You should be at a point of helping us, not hindering us doing what we're doing. And it wasn't in a way of saying, hey, you're wicked because you're hindering us. It was a point of training. And I think a lot of, at the 11 and 12 and 13-year-old age, a lot of people don't realize that that isn't a give them the free reins to be adults yet. That is the point where you're saying, be an adult, but let me show you, hand-holding them to become adults, not
That's
letting them be little kids, but saying, hey, I'm going to hold your hand to say, this is what we do because we're adults now, and this is what we do because we're at the point where we're not little kids. Isn't that amazing? And look, you have this responsibility, and making the transition exciting so that way by the time they are 20, they are completely trustworthy and completely 100% ready to be out in the world because you've helped them, you've handheld them at the age of 11 and 12 and 13 to where 16, they're able to go get a job. And
I obviously hindered you by teaching those Sunday school lessons.
It's true.
That's right.
I think what she said was a really interesting point. When she, as the baby of the family, dad had to do that. They didn't do that with me because I was having to take care of them.
So that was part of your training.
Yeah, like go clean the bathroom because Josh just cleaned it and you know how he cleans the bathroom. So you have to go clean up after him.
My cleaning style was
probably
in such a way.
Has not changed.
Yeah. Has not changed.
So you're saying parenting styles differ for each individual child.
Because I don't ever remember. I do remember being taught how to do something. You know, I was 8 when Hopi was born. So I got to learn how to change diapers. I was responsible taking care of different things. So I think they purposefully thought, this little girl doesn't have anybody to take care of underneath her all the time, so we need to help her. And now she takes care of our kids.
So what you're saying is part of the transitioning from childhood to adulthood for you was helping take care of the younger children.
Yeah, I think that was a big, big part and is very helpful because I don't remember it like... I don't remember not being helpful. I do remember going to work at a summer camp when I was 16, got to work at West Branch, and I loved it. And I remember feeling responsible that no one's going to, I have to make this as good as I can be. You know, I was the linen girl. I was just a linen girl. They made up a position for me, you know? And I remember thinking, I have to do the best that I possibly can do. And just because I wanted, at 16, I wasn't thinking, I want to do this to please Jesus. Right. I was thinking, I want to be able to come back next summer if I want to. But, and when I called home in the middle of summer when I was really sad, and I called back crying, and it was about the middle of the night, and I called back crying, and I told them I wanted to come home, they wouldn't let me. And that's something that's transitioning into adulthood. You don't get to just quit your job in the middle of it if you don't like your job. You don't get to, you know, you keep at it. And I worked the whole summer through. Yeah. So I think things like that. And, like, I was opposite of Matt. I wanted to be in ministry growing up. I wanted to be a preacher's wife. I wanted to do...
You wanted to be a preacher.
I wanted to be a preacher.
Yeah.
This is my chance.
This is your moment. Go for it.
That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be in ministry. I go to college. None of the pastoral ministry majors wanted me.
Because they were stupid, all of them.
But God had a different plan. And I remember coming back home and working at the church and loving being the secretary for Dad. And I remember going through a time telling Mom and Dad, you know, maybe God wants me to marry a plumber. And it was like heartbreaking for me. It really was thinking. And
not because you don't like plumbers, but because you wanted to be in quote unquote full-time ministry.
It would have been heartbreaking for me thinking that I was going to marry a doctor. I didn't care. I wasn't like the person that wanted to be, you know, wealthy or whatever. I just loved our life growing up, and I wanted that same life for our kids. Yeah. And it was that point where I had to surrender to God. Yeah. God, not it's okay. I won't be in ministry if that's what you don't have for me.
That's interesting.
And so it's just the opposite for me. And that was after I graduated college.
Yeah.
I had to tell God that.
Mm. That was very similar to...
Yeah. What's neat about that is that, you know, Mom and Dad were very supportive of whatever you wanted to do. There was a time for most of my life I wanted to be a nurse. And then while I'm getting my nursing degree, I'm like, hey, I want to be a teacher. And it was a very supported decision. And it was very good. You know, I'm going to marry an airman, someone who's in the Air Force. And Mom and Dad aren't like, oh, no, you have to be in the ministry. You have to, like with Faith. Her husband works for the government. It's not, oh, no, you should be in the ministry. Oh, it's so sad you need to be in the ministry. It's very supportive of, yes, this is what God wants you to be. You're going to be the best at what God wants you to be. It's not cookie cutter. Everybody has to be the exact same. It's what does God specifically want for your life?
Well, thank you guys so much for being part of this conversation. I really enjoyed it. I hope our audience did too. I want to say and speak on your behalf, if you don't mind, to our audience and say this. We are all just growing in understanding what it is to be a parent and what it is to be a Christian. But also, we would like to be there for you. If you need help from any of us, regardless of where you are, in the States, in Las Vegas, or around the world, if you Facebook any of us, contact us on Twitter or Facebook. If you have a question about what we've talked about, or maybe you want some more information, we'd love to help you parent your children to Jesus. That's our heart, and It's what our parents did for us. It's what we're trying to do for our children. We'd like to be a help to you in any way we possibly can. So thank you so much for watching, and we look forward to the next episode.